I want to say with regard to that book, God's Grand Vision for the Home, we've ordered some more. The sheet's on a stand back there, and some who weren't here the Sunday before signed up last Sunday. So if you're a parent, still have children at home, or you're a grandparent, and you'd like one of these for one of your grown children with children, that's fine. Just put everybody's name on there for us. And the book is on us. So the book is the church's gift to you. So there's no charge for it or anything like that. And we would just like for you to have it and, of course, to actually read it. And as you get toward the back, the book is about the importance of worship in the home. And then when you get toward the back, it has just like the kind of thing that Bennett was sharing this morning, but it has some really good ideas. They're just simple little ideas on things that can be done and how to make it interesting and how to get started. And they tell you, don't try to do it all at once. Start slow. You know, if once a month or twice a month is what you can do at the beginning, until maybe you can get it down to, you know, two or three times a week. But that the family worship as a family unit, whether through reading of the Word or singing or whatever it might be, is just such an important thing. And it's something that's lacking in our homes today. You know, we're in church, Sunday school, we have technology, we have tools, we have a lot of things, but nothing can take the place of that worship in the home. So we would like for you to have one. So if you don't, please sign up on your way out. Today's the last time we'll have the sign-up sheet back there at the back. Kind of struggled with what to speak on today, but this has been going through my mind for probably two or three weeks. So we're going to talk about building today. And we do have a responsive reading. And I believe that's on this tan-colored piece of paper. So it'll also, I believe, be on the screen. So let's stand together in honor of God's Word. This is a composite of verses from the New Testament. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of His Word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today that Your mighty Holy Spirit has been given to indwell Your body and to teach us all of the things that have to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read Your Word, we see all of these passages where You talk about building up, being built up, and building one another up. And Lord, that's what we want to be as Christians. We want to be people that are building others up, Lord, in You, building them up in their knowledge of You, building them up in their faith and in their trust of You, and learning to really walk with You. And it is Your desire that we be built up, not within ourselves, but again, in the areas of knowing You, trusting You, and being useful to You. I remember Jesus said, I will build My church. And Lord, we pray that You will continue to build Your church and that we as Your people will continue to build one another up out of love and out of a desire to please You. These things we ask humbly in Jesus' name and for His sake. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you are among those who like to fill in the blanks and things like that on the sermon notes, now would be the time to get those together. Jude 1:20 and 21, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Now, Jude is a short book. It only has one chapter. And this is what he is encouraging the people there to do. Jesus said, I will build My church. Cain, on the other hand, said or asked, am I my brother's keeper? We don't ask that in the church. Rather, we ask, how may I best help my brother or sister in the Lord to grow and come to know Christ better? We don't say, am I my brother's keeper? Is their problem my problem? How may I encourage him or her? How may I build him or her up in his or her most holy faith? Those are the questions that we ask ourselves as people of God. In the kingdom, what doesn't help hurts. What doesn't add subtracts. What doesn't build up tears down. Church life is the constant process of people who know and serve the Lord, building each other up to know and serve the Lord better. As Christians, we are all to be builders. If we're not building, then we're tearing down. Those were my thoughts as I was thinking about this lesson today. The Lord has called us all to be builders. Now, I don't know how many of you here today are good with tools, you know, hammer, saw, drill, all of that stuff. But to be the kind of builder that the Bible's talking about, you don't really have to know anything about those kinds of tools. That's the good news. On the other hand, you may be very good with building physical things and with tools and saws, but you might be a wrecking crew when it comes, you know, to the things of God. So the thing is that God has called each of us as members of the body of Christ to be builders, and we're not just to be active. We're not just to be doing things. Because if we do things for the wrong reasons or in the wrong ways, we can actually wind up doing a lot more harm than we do good. So when we serve the Lord and when we, in any capacity, say within the body, it's all got to be out of love, it's all got to be out of selflessness, and it's all got to be out of a true desire to see our brother and our sister in the Lord grow and make progress in the Lord. So that's what he's talking about by building one another up. I can build you up, you can build me up. I can tear you down or you can tear me down. It is that simple. And so the Lord has told us as his people that we need to be constantly in the business of building one another up. And as I think, Jesus said, I will build my church. Now, you know, when somebody's going to build something, they've had a couple projects in downtown Norfolk recently with grand dreams, but the dreams died for lack of proper financing. You know, when you're going to build something, you've got to have the resources in order to do it. And let me tell you something. Jesus said, I will build my church. And so we know that God has all the resources that are needed to build his church. Can I hear an amen? He's got the resources, and he's going to back, because the church is his building. The church is his enterprise. And the church isn't a building like this. The church is the people all over the world that know and love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So God is backing the building of his building with all of the resources of heaven. So let's look at a few of the things that God has given us. That should tell us right there how important the building of his church is, just by looking at the things he's given us for the building of his church. Now we get to the blanks. Number one, God gave his word for the building up of the church. And the word is basically that. It's the story of salvation. It's a message of salvation. But then it's also a message of building up people in their faith and in their service to the Lord. And without the word of God, and or even with just a head knowledge of the word of God, we cannot grow in the Lord. We cannot be built up. We cannot become the person that God wants us to be. He uses his word as his word is put into practice, as his word is actually begins to change our thoughts and our attitudes and our actions, then the church begins to be built up, and we individually as believers begin to be built up. So God's interested in the building of the whole church, but he's also interested in the building up of each individual believer. And see, that's what we can do for each other. You may not be able to go out and start a church and have 500 people the next year, but you can build up your brother and sister in the Lord, in Christ, in Awana, in the Sunday school, or, you know, or just here in the congregation. You can build up one or two or three that you know, that you love, that you appreciate. And God has given us his word for the building up of his church. And this is the number one thing that will nurture the church, or nurture an individual and build us up. Secondly, God placed spiritual gifts within the church for the building up of His church. We read over here, some people don't think the gifts are for today, but whether then or now, he says to them, what then shall we say, brothers, when you come together? When is that? That's like Sunday morning, right? It's when you meet. When you meet, when you meet, when you meet. Everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. And by the way, the original word there is edification of the church. And by the way, the Greek word there is to just build or construct or edify. And so that tells me right there that you can do those things in a way that they won't build the church up. Because otherwise, why would he say, when you do them, they must be done for the edification of the church? So whether I sing in the choir, or whether I teach a Sunday school class, or work in the soup kitchen, or whatever else I do, the purpose of it is to build up my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And God has put spiritual gifts in the church for the purpose of building up the church. Number three, God has placed giftedness and ministries in the church for the building up of His church. And we read that as well. It was He, that is God, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Those are ministries. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ, that would be the church, may be edified or built up. So He's put ministries in the church. His word, spiritual gifts, ministries. Number four, God poured out the Holy Spirit on His people on the day of Pentecost for the building up of His church. In fact, that's where the building of the church actually begun. That was day one in the building, in the actual building of the church. And Peter, when he got out there and preached, and 3,000 came and accepted Jesus as Savior, that was the beginning of the church. But it wouldn't have happened without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to be very much a part of everything that we do. He wants to be very much a part of our prayer life. He wants to be a very big part of our preparation if we teach or preach. He wants to be a part of our worship when we come here on Sunday morning. He wants to be very much a part of everything. It is possible to minister in the flesh. It is possible to minister the things of God in the flesh. That is not the proper way and will not have the same effect. The Holy Spirit wants a real role in your own personal life, in your own personal worship, and in our collective worship when we come together. And we need to make Him very, very welcome at all times and yield to Him, because the Holy Spirit knows things you don't know. And He knows what the needs are out in the congregation. And if I get up here and I speak some words and they're dry and they don't apply in any way to anything that's going on out there, is anybody edified? No. So you need to pray for Pastor Eby that when he gets in the pulpit, he will speak not only God's word technically, but the word that the Holy Spirit gave him. Can I hear an amen? And that would be true, again, of a Sunday school teacher or anybody who is in a teaching ministry. Number five, God filled each believer with His love for the building up of the church. We read that God has poured out His love abroad in our hearts, because without His love, I mean, think about it. A lot of the whole book of 1 John and other passages talk about that. If it isn't done in love, we can be very, very active. If it isn't done in love, it's not going to build anybody up. God gave me love, and not just the filial love that we have for appreciate friends, neighbors, or even relatives, but God's love. God put His love inside of me so that when I minister, it will minister in such a way as to build up the person. And that's how we know if they are built up, if they are edified, if they say, I feel something I haven't felt before, I understand something I haven't understood before, something is resolved in me through this word that was not resolved before, then we know that it's being ministered in love. Even as parents, we've been talking about that a lot. We can discipline in love, or we can discipline not in love. So, it's not whether we discipline only, but whether we do so in love. And when we minister, it's the same way. We can minister all day long. We can have a degree behind our name. We're not ministering in love. It's not going to get very far. Number six, God instructs us to love one another and care for one another for the building up of His church. That's what He says. I was thinking to that verse where it says we shouldn't be looking after our own things but the things of others. Now, that doesn't mean we're supposed to be out there meddling, trying to find out everybody else's business. But what it means is that we're to be concerned about the needs and the concerns of our brother more than our own and put those ahead of our own. And that God has instructed us to do for the building up of His church. And number seven, God expects each believer to do his or her part for the building up of His church. I read a story many years ago. I've probably shared it a time or two, but they were building this great cathedral in the city, and there was a man over there, and the fellow came and he was watching. He said, "What are you doing?" "Oh," he said, I'm laying stone. I'm a stonemason. I'm laying stone, you know." And he went over and saw another man working. And he said, "What are you doing?" "Oh," he said, "I'm cutting some wood here. I'm a carpenter." And so he went. Finally, he found a guy with a broom sweeping up some of the debris. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm building the temple." And that's what we're about. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're building the temple. So whatever the ministry might be, whether from the nursery all the way up through shut-in visitation on Mondays, but whatever it is, or maybe we don't even have a title. Do you have to have a title or anything in order to be a builder in the body of Christ? Huh? Do you have to have some official job in the church in order to be a builder up of the people of God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I've known people that they're just wherever they go, they're themselves, they're natural, they're not trying to impress, they're not overstated, but just wherever they go, they're a blessing. I was thinking of that song this week. That we used to sing years ago, "Make Me a Blessing." How many know that song? Out in the highways and byways of life. And it starts out in it, but the chorus is, "Make me a blessing." So there are people like that. They don't even have a title in the church, you know? And maybe don't even teach a class or whatever. But after they, if they come and see you, after they leave, you feel built up. How many know somebody like that? And that's just, you know, that's just the way the Lord wants us to be. And if we're not that way, He can make us that way. If we ask Him, we ask Him other stuff, we can ask Him that. All right, some of the ways we build up our brothers and sisters. We'll go through these quickly, and you can read the scriptures later on. I'll read some of them for you. Through encouragement, through encouragement. Barnabas means son of consolation or son of encouragement. He was one of the major players in the early church in Jerusalem. And wherever you find Barnabas, you find that he was encouraging people and reaching out to people and helping people and through encouragement. Have you ever needed encouragement? I imagine we all have. And so encouragement doesn't cost a dime. It doesn't take a dime if you're worried about it. Believe me, it doesn't take a dime. Now, the Lord may move you as part of that encouragement to give. That much is true. But just to say an encouraging word or offer your support or be there for somebody, that is probably the number one way, that the, aside from the word itself, that the body of Christ is built up. But a lot of times we don't encourage. A lot of times we criticize. A lot of times we point out the faults. A lot of times we point the finger. Now, sometimes if somebody's walking headstrong, headlong down the wrong way and won't listen, we have to do that. But a lot of times it isn't that. Someone is just making some mistakes in an area, and they just need a kind word and a reminder. But we don't encourage. We just talk about them, or we point the finger, or we start alienating ourselves from them. And that's not what the Lord wants us to do. The Lord wants us to encourage. And the same even again with our children. We can be slave drivers or we can be encouragers. And in the home, we may be good at encouraging people down at the church, but not very good at encouraging our spouse, because after all, I mean, we expect it from them. But encouragement is for the home as much as it is for any place. And think of a family where mom and dad and the children daily encourage one another. What do you think? What would home, huh? And it's not that hard. It's not that hard. Just change some of our ways. Just change some of our habits. Just change some of the things we say, even sometimes. But encouragement. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So there are people out there that need a word of encouragement from me today. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. So there's one of your big reasons why we come together. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Do you think the day's approaching? I think so. And he says, all the more. This is the time. That's Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Number two, through prayer. Yes, we build one another up through prayer. There are people in your in the congregation that need prayer. There are people in your family that need prayer. There are people in your life that need prayer, and they will be built up by prayer. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. We'll have a lot of mothers here. There are going to be a lot of big, burly men in heaven that are going to say, I'm here because of my mother's prayers, because I knew she prayed for me, and it was an encouragement. And even though I wasn't doing the right thing, those prayers were an encouragement to me. And we need to pray regularly for one another. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Number three, of course, through friendship and service. And I have to say, we have a lot of that in this church. And that is one of the ways that we show encouragement. And we can never do more than what should be done here through friendship and through service. And that is one of the ways to show somebody, you know, we care, we're concerned about you. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. 1 Corinthians 10, 23 and 24. Number four, here's a way we can help our brothers and sisters to build them up. Through pointing them to the truth. Through pointing them to the truth. This is a very important way. Because, again, as believers, it's only God's truth as it is applied in our lives that is really going to produce change and really bring us to the place where we need to be in God. So it says in Ephesians 4:15, instead, speaking the truth in love. There it is. We speak the truth, but we speak it in love. Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. And so, yes, we do need to point our brothers and sisters to the truth. I remember at one of the recent camps for the young people, I've been hearing it ever since. One of the big themes that week, apparently, from Greg down at Look Up Lodge was, go out and think a while, what lie are you believing today? Because every wrong attitude, every wrong behavior that we engage in is based on some lie of the enemy somewhere. What is the antidote to a lie? The truth. And Jesus said, if you really stay in my word, then you will really be my disciples, and you will come to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Number five, through holding them accountable. Yes, that is a way that we can help to build. Not pointing the finger and dragging them down and all of that, but holding them accountable. We need to do that with our children. Don't you need to go behind your children sometimes and find out if they are doing their homework and stuff like that? And that will build them up. Letting them spend all night watching videos and going over to the friend's house isn't going to build them up. They may have fun, but it's not going to build them up. It's not going to help them to become better people. It's not going to help them to get the good grades that they need, you know, in order to pass the subject and to learn the things they need to know later in life. And in our church, we have had accountability partnerships and we have had accountability groups. And I think some of them are still in existence. And this is where a couple people say, I want you to hold me accountable. I want you to call me once a week and check on me. Have I been reading my Bible this week? Have I been spending time in prayer this week? It's not a thing of legalism, but it's just a thing of, hey, you know, these are the things we should be doing, and as your friend, I'm going to check on you. I've had people say that to me before. Preacher, check on me. Ask me once in a while, you know, what's going on? And that's a good way to build our brothers and sisters up in Christ. So these accountability groups, sometimes it's three or four people that meet once a week, or sometimes it is just two people that call one another or email one another, whatever. It's a great thing, and it's scriptural. Number six, through a godly example. And I mean, we can encourage all day long, and we can do a lot of good, and then we can tear it all down in one day by a poor example. And if we're not, you know, and we know this, if we're not living what we preach, what's the old saying? Actions speak louder than words. And so people say, well, I hear you talking, but I don't, you know. So the godly example is a great way. Sometimes there are people watching you. I know Roy Hanbury talks about this a lot. I'm talking about you, Roy. But he talks about the mentors in our church. And he talks about the older men and that were such examples. And they weren't going around, you know, formally discipling in that way. But their example has made an impact. Hey, that's what a Christian ought to be. That's how a Christian ought to act and conduct themselves. So a godly example speaks volumes. Paul wrote, follow my example. Was he on an ego trip? No. Listen to what he said. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. So we can build up our brothers and sisters without saying a word, and just. And he says, even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. That's what he says to these Corinthian believers. For this reason, I am sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote. Now, I'm not going to spend any time on this, but I think you know there are ways we don't build our brothers and sisters up, through being critical and judgmental, through remaining detached or isolated. You say, well, I'm not doing anybody any harm. Yeah, but you're not doing them any good either. And the good that you should be doing through encouragement and service and ministry, you're not doing. Therefore, you are harming them because you are depriving them of the building up that you're supposed to be doing for them. Amen? So doing nothing doesn't mean we're not doing harm. Meddling where we don't belong, gossiping or talking behind people's backs, unwise or improper sharing of confidences, feeding their egos. Some people think that they're building somebody up when they do that. No. We build people up when we lead them into a better walk with the Lord and build them up in their faith, not when we feed their egos. There are at least three ways. Flattery, saying only what they want to hear, that is not building up somebody. That is actually perpetuating them in whatever improper ways of thinking they have or improper actions. Enabling or condoning improper behavior attitudes, those are not ways in which we build someone up. Now, what about building? We said it at the beginning. Just two or three things in closing here. Building is deliberate. I mean, how many of you have ever driven by a corner and you said, oh, that house just popped up there overnight. Wow. I don't care how basic the structure is. Somebody had a forethought about it. Somebody went out and got the materials together to do it. Somebody had some kind of little plan in their mind, even if it was just in their mind and not on paper, and they went out and did it. But building is always a deliberate, planned enterprise. It's never accidental. It never just happens. So, as the people of God, if we're going to be builders, it's got to be intentional. Lord, make me a blessing. Use me today to bless someone. That's intentional. The other thing is, building does take an investment of time and resources. Because again, it doesn't happen by itself. Building can be downright messy. How many would agree? Anybody remodeling a kitchen or a bathroom or anything right now? It can be downright. It can even be frustrating at times. In fact, occasionally we have to go and rip something out that we've done and kind of start over. But does that mean we should stop building? No, it does not mean that. But building requires an investment of time. If it's a small project, it requires a little time. And if it's a big project, it'll require more time. The same with resources. If it's a small project, it may require just a few resources. If it's a big project, it requires a lot of resources. Now, if you don't have many resources, then the Lord doesn't expect you to use what resources other than what you have. But remember the little widow lady in Sarepta who just had a little bit of flour left and just a little bit of oil. And what did she do? She used it in obedience to God's word to bless the man of God. And in exchange, the Lord made sure that she and her son and Elijah were fed for the balance of that famine, right? So she built someone up just through what she did have. So that's all. And the Lord will use us to build others up. But one thing I do know, and that is that we can all build somebody up in the Lord. And this can happen in our home. That's where it should really start. And then, of course, it should happen in our church family. And then it should be happening at work as well. And, of course, how can you better build somebody up than leading them to faith in Jesus Christ? That's the greatest. That's when the building really begins. So, folks, let's say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be a builder for you. Amen? Let's close. Father, we thank you today. We thank you that you've made a great investment in our lives. You sent your Son to die on the cross. You sent him to shed his blood for us. You've given us your Word. You've given us your Holy Spirit. You've given us a church family to be in and among and to function in. And you've given all of these things so that we could be built up individually as believers and also as a group of people serving you in South Norfolk. Lord, I pray today, may it be our heart's desire, may it be our heart's cry to build up, to not tear down, to use whatever you have given us, Lord, for good purposes, and to make that little bit of extra investment in time and effort in order to build someone else up. It might just look like 30 minutes going over a scripture passage with somebody or something like that, whatever it looks like. But Lord, that it may be done in love, that it may be done at the impulse of your Holy Spirit, because we know one thing, and that is that your desire is that your church would be always built up and never, never torn down. So Lord, help us as your people to build one another up faithfully day after day, especially as we see the coming of the Lord is so near. Now, Lord, thank you for this day where we do remember and commemorate the death of our Lord Jesus Christ for us on the cross. And, Lord, that this would be a wonderful time to reflect indeed today in our hearts what things you have done and what things still remain to be done in our lives today through your grace and through the shed blood of the Lamb. Bless our time now of worship together, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a couple moments, we'll be taking communion. But during the hymn, if you do have anything to share, feel free to share it. And right after that, we'll have communion.